Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, psychic medium Sherry, Joe Pinohu, and Joel Walling. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, but also step outside the box a bit and discuss current events. Great conversation among friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Paranormal Horizons, and your ears do not deceive you. This is not Jason Ophir or psychic medium Sherry. Tonight is Valentine's Day, or Valentine's Night, rather, I guess you would say. And they have had a chance to go out and kind of enjoy themselves, or at least that's what psychic medium Sherry is doing. I'm not so sure about Jason, but I know he couldn't make it tonight. This is Joel Walling of the Paranormal Night Stalker and co-host of Paranormal Horizons. Along with me is going to be my guest of the night, because I really don't do anything solo. So Michael Smith is here as well from the Paranormal Night Stalker. And we didn't really have a whole lot thought out or planned to this. Matter of fact, I didn't even know if I could get it to work.
Well, they're letting the inmates run the asylum tonight because they got us on here.
That's actually a pretty accurate description.
They're like throwing us the keys and say, here, have at it. So the integrity of their podcast may well take a hit, and who knows?
My whole goal is just to make sure they don't get canceled.
That was the idea, just make sure that someone can come back next week.
They're still going to have a show to come back to next week. That's the whole thing. That's our goal for tonight. So fingers crossed, hope for the best. But believe it or not, actually, we put far more thought into this episode of Paranormal Horizons than we do in our normal show on the Paranormal Night Stalker, because normally our whole plan with it is, hey, what time do we go on the air again? Oh, crap, we got 10 minutes. That's our normal. And we did actually do a little bit of thinking about that. I talked to Psychic Medium Sherry, and we were going to be doing a live SB7T Spirit Box session and unboxing on Facebook. Facebook sucks, so we were not able to do what I wanted to do with it. And the unboxing only lasted about, I think, 14 minutes or something. Cut it off almost right before I came in, logged into this and went on. But that is something I thought we might talk a little bit about that, kind of stick with the paranormal side of things because that's our wheelhouse.
We ain't got much else. I mean, we're kind of a one-trick pony.
I don't even call myself a one-trick pony anymore. I'm more of the the wheel's turning, but that poor hamster's dead. It's just flopping in there. The lungs are like a damn flat tire.
We're more like beating the dead horse, but, we'll stay with you as long as we can, folks. What the hell?
I am hoping this is working out right, and I'm going to, intro, I don't know of anything else working. So what I'm going to do is, while we're talking about this, if you wanted to go maybe get a little bit of a background on the Spirit Box, if hopefully you are going live out, then we can kind of go from there.
The Spirit Box is really originated. There have been a lot of things used for dimensional transcommunication devices. It started out way back with just static, basically. And then there were other devices that were made. The Spirit Box basically comes from something called a Frank's Box or a Shack Hack, a Radio Shack Hack. It was just a AM/FM radio with a tuning module taken out, so it was detuned so that it wouldn't lock onto a frequency. It would just run through the frequencies continuously. It wouldn't lock onto any one. The theory being that the spirits could manipulate the signals and come through and communicate in between the words that were being broadcast, because in theory, with the sweep rate of the radio being fast enough, you wouldn't get any full words or full sentences, and the spirits could use that or manipulate that to come across and send the EVP, you know. That's the basic concept of it. Now, these new spirit boxes that they got now, I mean, you can alter the sweep rate. You can sweep in reverse. You can sweep AM only or FM only, or you can sweep both at once. They've got to where they can do a whole bunch of stuff with them now. They're a lot more advanced than they were at the beginning. Some of them have flashlights on them, and some of them have all kind of little gadget thermometers and all kind of little extra gadgets that they managed to cram inside the box due to the microcircuitry on these things now. But that's basically what the spirit box is. You can dress them up any way you want, and anything that manipulates or deals with a radio frequency is basically the same thing. It might sound a little different, might sweep different, but it's doing the same basic thing. Now, there are some people that swear by the things, and some people that don't think that they're worth anything. There are several apps that you can get on your cell phone that do the same kind of thing. And we have tried some of those with the Night Stalker, and we did actually get some good results with one of those. The XB7.
Yeah, the XB7 was in the Google Play and the Apple App Store was what was originally we were using, and that was a very I would like to say it was a very promising app. There were things that had happened with it and went on with it that I cannot explain in a normal context, and I don't put a lot of credibility into apps. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people do. But the fact of it is, for every one that is a legitimate tool, you're going to find 500 that aren't. And I think when you're getting into those numbers, you just got to kind of beware with that. And
especially
also
with the paranormal, because a lot of the stuff in the paranormal, the apps are random word generators, and they tell you to take out the random word dictionary and put in words that are relevant to your location. Well, if you're doing that, you're going to get words that are relevant.
Yeah, you're stacking your results. Yeah, you're stacking your own results. You're making sure you get positive results when there may not be any. And that's very true, which, by the way, now the reason I'm talking is I've listened to the pre-recording and I've heard both of us speaking, and it sounds fine, so everything is going good, and I haven't messed this up, and I'm happy about that. If I'm thinking back right, that's probably the first thing I've done today that I haven't really haven't screwed up. So I'm like, okay, that's pretty good.
I don't want to talk about that because I got you beat today. For things that screwed up today, I got you beat.
I gotta agree with you on that one. Would you like to explain that one?
I submitted my doctoral dissertation this morning at 6 a.m. And I was so proud of myself. It was a lot of work. And the same time I did that, I mean, I'm talking exactly the same time I did that. I don't know what happened. There was a Windows update pending. Something crossed somewhere. And half my dissertation that was saved and documented and sent was wiped out. So I get email back from my advisor, and he says, it's only half done. And I said, what do you mean it's only half done? And I go look at it, and it's half gone. And if I wasn't totally exhausted and only working on about 5 hours of sleep in the last 3 days, I probably would cry. I really would.
I wouldn't blame you for that. That is a lot of work. It goes down the hill. For those of y'all who don't listen to the Night Stalker or haven't heard us on here in the past little bit, Michael is at the light of the end of the tunnel. The yellow brick road is nearly complete, and Michael has almost got his PhD in paranormal psychology.
Or parapsychology, actually. Cause,
parapsychology. Cause they don't call it paranormal.
In my mind, I'm paranormal. I'm abnormal anyway. But yeah.
I was going to say I did forget to throw in the fact that unlike our normal show, we can actually take callers on this. So if you do want to call in, if you do have a paranormal question, we'll take anything. We'll bring any caller on. The number is 215-383-3999. So if you want to call in again, 215-383-3999. If you have any paranormal questions, ghost stories, whatever you want to do, let us know. We will, like I said, we'll bring you on.
You can even come in and call us stupid, and we'll probably agree with that. We're not hard to get along with.
We're not
hard to get along with.
So, you know, like I said, the Spirit Box session, I'm just talking a little bit about the SB7T. Got to make sure we do have the, which actually I don't know if you were, how much of it you saw or if you, you know what, but I did have something really kind of strange happen with it. Is I'd set it, I turned it on, which it tells you to do, turn it on and you leave it, well, I need it to shut up. So you leave it sit for a few minutes, which it actually does have a really killer speaker on it. I got to give them a little credit on that. But basically what you do is you just let it sit for, you know, a couple of minutes, and then you can turn on the ambient temperature detection. It actually does temperature variations. And it can tell you by the sounds of the beep, which if it's going cold or hot. You know, if the temperature has risen or the temperature lowered. And that was actually kind of one of the interesting things that happened. It just happened with it. I was sitting there with it on, and all of a sudden the temperature spike happened.
Well, it probably had to calibrate.
No, I'd already let it calibrate. See, like I'm doing that right now. I've got it on, but I'm letting it calibrate. I'm not doing this, and I'm muted. Well, not muted. That is the downside to this. I wish it would put in there as a mute button. It does not have a mute button or a mute feature on it, so you've either got to palm the speaker, which is not very big. It's barely the size of the palm of my hand. Like I showed the people on Facebook, it's about the size. This new SB7T is about a little over half the size of a dollar bill. That's all it is. And that's a pretty significant. It's a pretty small device, actually. And that was a little surprising when I pulled it out of the box with that. Now, like I say, I've got the temperature gauge on now. It's calibrated, and no, excuse me, I got the hiccups too. And that's just, you know, I do like that. I mean, I'm not going to credit too much to the heat spike. Just because I was talking at the time, although I'm talking right now and it's not It's not causing any problems with it. It could have gotten heat coming off of my computer. It could have gotten heat coming. I mean, there's very, well, not various other things. There's like two or three other things it could have got heat from. That could have made it, you know, get this detection going. But it like my heater wasn't on or something like that where it would have gotten heat from that. But, you know, there are things that it could have been. But just out of, just for, as we always say, for shits and giggles, I'm going to set it over here beside me. Well, there, it's going to just fall over, and that's fine. And we're going to let it go and see if we do get a heat response again. It was a warm spike rather than a cold spike. And just see what happens. We can just let it go and see if it does anything. And, I mean, it's not going to hurt anything. It just takes three AAA batteries, and I think I've got more batteries. If not, I can always pick some more up. But that would be, like I said, that was kind of an interesting thing to happen. My biggest knock for the SB7T has got to be the fact that it is a very well-functioning radio. It is not detuned in the slightest bit. It just doesn't stop on a station. And if you go lower than 200, was it milliseconds per swipe?
Yeah.
If you go lower than that, you get full sentences and words from the radio. And I think that kind of discredits anything
in that
range.
Yeah, it does, anyway. In that range.
Yeah. The 250 and above, or 200 and above, rather. No, yeah, 250. It's getting a lot faster, and they have to be very short words, but you still might grab one or two. But it's like I've always talked about with the Spirit Box, and one of the main problems behind it is that everyone assumes, like, okay, it's going past your radio station tunes in at 98.1. And if you don't hear it on 98.1, you're not going to hear it. But it doesn't. It comes in on 97.9. It comes in on 98.0. Comes in 98.1, 98.2, like that. So it is possible to pull the same voice over multiple frequencies. So if it's not slowed down, or if it's slowed down too much, I think I pulled a whole sentence out of a song.
Well, you know, that's how some of these people that claim to speak to the dead celebrities that they actually die. It's because they listen to the news broadcast. They put the thing on during the time when there would be a news broadcast. When they know this person's name is in the news, and they wait for, you know, they'll say, "So and so, are you here?" And then they'll hear the announcer say the person's name. But you got the sleep speed set low enough, the name's going to come through.
Yeah. That's
so right
definite.
There, you've made contact with your celebrity. At least that's what it appears to be, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to name any names, Huff, Paranormal. But that's kind of, they've made a career out of that. And that's just, you know, what
you
it
know,
is.
I was trying not to do that. Thank you for
that.
Oh,
yeah, I keep forgetting this isn't our show.
This is our show, you know.
Yeah, we are guests, and I don't want to cause Jason and Sherry any kind of crap, so I will have to watch doing that.
Us driving the show into the iceberg, one foot at a time.
You know, that's just kind of like I said, I'm used to being on the Night Stalker, where, you know, I think there was one episode it literally we came out and were like, you know, just to let you know, we're going to do this anyway. If you don't like it, don't listen to it. But we don't really give a shit. And that's just basically the way we are. That's me and Michael in a nutshell there. But I forgot,
you know,
Jason and Sherry do care.
Great. We love you. But if you don't want to listen, we don't care. It's our show. This isn't our show, though. We have to be a little more.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I have
to be a little more diplomatic. We shall see. I shall be diplomatic. And
that's
not
too late for
that.
I'd have to mute your ass.
That's it. Maybe you're the one that should run the dashboard and not me.
Yeah,
you'd be
you
like,
really
oh God, here he goes. Click mute.
You don't really have a diplomatic feature.
No, sadly,
you know, there's
not
no
anymore.
Filter between. Well, hell, I've known you for all these years. I knew you'd have one, unless it was before I met you.
No, not really. That was actually worse.
I know.
But I used to be a little more diplomatic when it came to certain things like that.
Well, you know, you get older, you care less.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, I was wondering, and I wanted to bring it up, and we've talked about it before on our show some. But, you know, I've been studying a lot of stuff, but I've always been studying. It's one of my favorite topics. It's poltergeist. You know, the recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis, which is caused by a living person, an agent. You know, a lot of times it's a child, adolescent child. A lot of times it's a female right before her first menses. You know, and you get all the hormone flows and fluctuations and all that angst and all those things going on. It's the equivalent of a psychic temper tantrum. And if you want to know more about that, one of the best things you can actually read on that subject is a book by Dr. William Roll, Oxford-educated psychologist and a parapsychologist, in his book called Poltergeist. And you can find it used on Amazon and also on, I think, eCampus actually has it.
I don't think there's too much that they don't have.
So you can find it there, but it's a great book. It's a great primer on poltergeists. But the reason I bring it up is I've noticed a bit of a trend lately on these ghost shows. I've talked about the ghost shows before, and I don't watch too many of them anymore because, frankly, they make me crazy. I'm sitting there yelling at the TV, and my blood pressure's going up, and I'm starting to throw things. And it's just not good. But,
no.
You know, they're like paranormal entertainment. They're not exactly the way things are on an investigation. You know, and I've seen people on there do things talking to clients that you would never say to a client during a client interview or on an investigation or, you know, things like leading questions and leading comments and things that would indicate things being more than they are, especially when you get the people that have the Demon of the Week Club, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wondered if anybody out there wanted to comment or would like to consider the fact that under the strictness of definition, a poltergeist is not an inhuman entity. It's not a negative entity. It's not a demonic. A true poltergeist requires a living human agent. It's a psychic tantrum. It's a psi phenomena. It usually has a very short shelf life. It lasts for a period of time, and then when the stressor of the moment goes away, if it happens in a certain location, if the person who is the agent of the poltergeist isn't there, it doesn't happen. They have to be either then in the they have to be in close proximity, or actually at the location for it to occur. It's very distance dependent. When you get in cases of a haunting, when you get movement of objects in a haunting, that's not a poltergeist type activity. That's a telekinetic activity. Even then, it's a bit of a stretch because you really don't know who's moving it. It is possible for someone to be moving an object and don't know they're doing it. Same with a poltergeist. You could have an agent of a poltergeist causing all this stuff and not know they're the ones causing it. And the stuff they're causing is what's scaring them.
Actually, in the case of the poltergeist, In the case of the poltergeist, most of the time they don't know. They're the catalyst. They aren't aware they're causing it. And there is one important thing, I'm sure to most of the listening audience, we do not have to point this out. But to, you know, there is the minority maybe in this that have not been in the paranormal field for long or whatever, or even have the interest. Maybe they're young. We don't know. This is, you know, just the way it goes. But the Hollywood film Poltergeist was just named Poltergeist because it was a recognizable term. It actually had nothing to do with a poltergeist whatsoever. It was just the recognizable term of the day. You know, that's it, pure and simple. And that's where, you know, a lot of misconceptions come in about that. And it seems like this one of the things, like you were talking about, this is something that comes around every few years. We have the what I'm starting to look at is kind of like the paranormal recycle bin. These same kind of thought patterns start coming up every so often, and the truth of it is, it's just not correct. But the problem is now we're running into, especially in the age of the internet, which should be an age of enlightenment, we are running into a time where people are taking what they see on YouTube or on television and running with it. And I'm not, and honestly, for one of my rare times, this is not Zach Bagans I'm blaming when I say television. This is, you know, Amazon Prime is absolutely full of paranormal research shows. Absolutely full of them. Because at one time I thought it was difficult to get a show on Amazon Prime, but I was wrong. It is actually very, very easy to get a show on Amazon Prime. And the truth of it is, anyone basically with a video camera can be on Amazon Prime. And as long as it's not, you know, I guess excessively graphic sex or something like that, then they will let it on there. You just get added to Amazon Prime. So Amazon Prime is basically treating itself as like YouTube. You create an account, you submit your video, and then you get put on. Well, the problem is you have people who don't actually know what they're talking about watching, and you have people who don't know, period, who are just watching this either for entertainment or trying to learn something. Can you hear that?
I heard something. Oh, what it was. Blinked out for a minute.
Yeah. Because it just got colder.
It's probably
that was the ambient temperature alarm.
How far did it drop?
Can't hear it enough to judge it. It tells me that, and that's actually fascinating. We're sorry, folks, but that was absolutely fascinating. That was sitting here beside me. There is no draft. My room is the same. I have a minimum of a 5-degree drop before it. What the? Oh, that's. Oh, I did not know that. That's actually really cool. Going back to our earlier discussion of the SB7 spirit box, you can use the ambient temperature device without using the spirit box. The spirit box works separately. So I can actually turn the temperature gauge on without doing the spirit box part of it. Because that last
when you
beep, if you could hear that, that was me actually setting it for the antenna. That was actually, but the cold one was actually, that was actually fascinating. Because I can assure you, it is not 5 degrees colder in my apartment than it was, you know, about 20 minutes ago when I set that up. It hasn't dropped 5 degrees in here. Matter of fact, I've got lights on, I've got a computer on, I've got a giant TV on, I'm talking all of this. If anything, it would get warmer in here, not colder. I live in it's an older building, but everything in here has been redone. So, and they took it down to the bare bones building. So all new insulation, all new windows, all new everything. No drafts in this apartment. Huh. But back where we were talking, that these people, they put this stuff up on Amazon, and we talked about this once before with the Sally House, the episodes that were done on that. When we did a research on the Sally House, which you can find that on iTunes or whatever, one of the past Night Stalker episodes we did. There was a guy on there, and he was, I would say, at least passing himself off as the team leader, kind of the knowledge base. And he was sitting there telling them the history of the Sally House, and he tells them how scratches are a clear sign of a attachment. Those are clear signs of an attachment. Yet, like 45 seconds before that, he just talked about the fact that the guy finally had enough of getting scratched and hit in that house that he left, and once he left, nothing happened again to him. When he'd come back, he'd get scratched, but he leaves and he's fine. So he has no clue what an attachment is. Apparently, he doesn't even know what the word attachment means. I mean, he's never even sent an email with an attachment, because if he had, he would have realized that attachment means it is attached to something. It is attached to the person, or, you know. And he just kind of, but I mean, he was a real brain trust anyway, because of the fact that, you know, he's also the guy that had no idea that a plasma ball would set off an EMF detector due to, and it has anything to do with a Tesla coil. So this guy is not the sharpest knife in the tool shed, but or what's the saying go? Not the sharpest knife in the electrical socket, but his elevator goes all the way to the tool shed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was him in a nutshell right there. But those are the kind of things that, you know, end up mucking the water, so to speak. And like you said, with this recent trend of people calling hauntings poltergeists again, that, you know, the people who were actually involved in paranormal research and the such had finally kind of broken that and removed that stigma from the term after the movie was made. Because, you know, Hollywood came out and they were looking for a ghostly term to call this film, and poltergeist was something that had been talked about, and they were like, okay, yeah, we'll go with that. And like you said, even though it has absolutely nothing to do with the actual poltergeist, it's just what Hollywood went with because, well, Hollywood does that sort of thing. And there has been a lot.
It's sad. Because, you know, it used to be when we were coming, when we started out, you know, there were four basic types of haunting. There's residual haunting, an intelligent haunting, a poltergeist, which isn't really a haunting, and then an inhuman haunting or a demonic haunting, if you want to use the word demonic. Or most of them just call it inhuman haunting. That was what there were. There wasn't any... I mean, you could have variations on a theme. You could have more than one in the place. You could have a place that has a residual haunting in, as well as a intelligent haunting at the same time, or you could have possibly a inhuman haunting and have a residual at the same place, or it is, I mean, you know, there's nothing that says you can't have more than one at a time.
No.
But, you know, now there's like, you know, it's like when you take the SATs in high school, and then 20 years later they redo the criteria, so you got dumber. You know? It's like they changed all the stuff around because they got different words they wanted to use, whatever. And so, you know, now there's all kind of different fancy words, but it basically means the same thing. That's basically
yep.
the only types of activity that there are.
And I mean,
we can't really take
new words from a generation that invented the term on flick. Or on fleek. You know,
what the hell does that even mean? I don't even know what that means.
I would be like, oh, well, you know, I'm not actually sure either. I think it looks good, basically, is what it is. Because the only time I've heard the term actually used, like in a sentence or something, it was like, oh, that person's hair was, so it was like describing it looking good, I guess would be for lack of a better term. But why in the hell would you come up with that term just to say it looks good? I mean, you could just say,
I don't know.
And that's what I'm saying. You know, we're
going
to really take vocabulary advice from a generation that invented the term on fleek. And I'm sure there's some of them out there going, okay, boomer, or whatever the hell they're saying now. But yeah, it is. And you know, I'm often. Have you ever met that person that tries to use really big words even though they have no clue what they mean, so they end up using them wrong?
Yeah.
That's basically what I feel like hearing them describe, like, oh, well, that's a poltergeist. No, that's not a poltergeist. Or, oh, it's this. No, you know, they're trying to sound more put together and smart by simply using terms that they don't understand.
Yeah, but you got to be careful doing that. It's one thing, I mean, you know, sometimes, I mean, it's one thing in a conversation if you're going to have a discussion about something. And, you know, for example, if you're going to talk about the non-locality of consciousness or quantum entanglement in reference to a haunting or something like that, if you're going to go there, you're going to get into that realm and you're going to break it down into that level, then you got to make sure of two things. You got to make sure, first off, that you actually know what quantum entanglement is, and B, that you can actually have a conversation on it and not sound like a dumbass. Because if you can't, you shouldn't bring it up. I mean, I don't go throwing quantum entanglement around in a conversation. You know?
But if they only talked about things they understood, they would probably not say anything at all.
Well, they could say a lot, but they'd have to. The problem is people, and everybody's guilty of it, it's human nature to think that you know more than you actually know. Because you get in the crowd and you don't want to seem stupid. Nobody does. You know, and especially if you're a person in charge. If you're somebody in charge of a paranormal team or whatever it may be, an office or anything, you're the first that's supposed to be in charge. People look up to you. They assume that you know what you're doing. You're the leader. And, you know, that's why you should never, you never stop learning in this field. You read every damn thing. But admit that if you don't, when you don't know something, it's like, hey, I have no idea. I don't know. I've done it a lot of times, Joe, and I have no clue. I don't know.
Well, see, that's why, you know, you continuously learn in this, and you should never stop trying. Well, I mean, in anything. I mean, if you even have even a basic interest in anything, you should try to learn about it. I mean, you look at, like, oh, God, I cannot remember. I'm trying to think of his name now. He's a baseball player. He says that, you know, when he was younger, he wanted to develop the perfect swing. So he used to stand with a rolled up magazine or newspaper in his hand and stand in the mirror and practice swinging until he figured out exactly where to put his elbows, exactly where to rest the bat. And he did this over and over and over and over all through his childhood, all into his teen years, all into his adulthood until he made it into the major leagues. You know, I think it was Ted Williams. But I'm not positive. You know? And that was just, that's, if your interest about anything, and it goes into, like I said, anything at all, music, movies, comic books, play, you know, baseball cards, coins, you know, you just keep going with it, and you keep looking into it, and you keep going further, and you keep looking deeper, and you know, you learn about everything you can learn about it. And when you can't find any more in a book, talk to somebody. Just walk up and talk to start, you know, is this somebody who knows about this stuff? Talk to them. Get on Facebook. Join a group. Granted, there's a lot of assholes on there. But you're occasionally going to find the ones that actually want to talk, that actually want to say, you know, to sit down and have a conversation. I had one the other day that absolutely floored me about Ouija boards and spirit boxes and other forms of divination. And I saw the post about the Ouija board, and I'm like, oh, God, here I go. Because it's one of those posts that I just can't walk away from. There's been so much misconception and so much bullcrap about it that I've always wanted to try to, if I can get through to one person, then that's all that matters. And I started making a post about it, and the person that made the original post liked the comment. Oh, okay. And then a couple of seconds later, they had tagged me in a comment. And they were like, well, you know, I always looked at it as like this. And I'm like, oh, my God. Wait, they're making a good point here. And I was like, you know, you're right. And if you look at it, we're like, oh, absolutely. It fits with this and this. And before I know it, we've been talking for 15 minutes and we've actually had a decent conversation going. And it shocked the crap out of me. I saw another video today, and actually I'll see if I can't find that guy's channel again real quick, because actually I really liked it. And I'm going to give the guy a shout out on here. Hopefully this will help him out some, because he's definitely one that needs to be kind of needs to have this kind of stuff recognized and given a little bit of a shout out to it. And it's the simple reason of it is, his name's Bob Hicks. He did a video about, there's been a whole bunch of people putting in these things, putting up these pictures of cages over old graves. And they're saying, oh, this was to keep out vampires and it was to keep zombies down. His YouTube channel is Tales from the Dark. And like I said, it's a kind of up-and-coming channel. It's got a decent amount of subscribers, 2,550. But he did a video, just short, sweet, to the point, about a five-minute video, about old graves with cages over them. And I played the video, I played his video this afternoon, and I'm like, okay, here goes nothing, because I can't wait for him to explain about how, you know, they could decapitate the zombies and stuff them up a vampire's ass or something like that. He didn't. He was like, the reason these cages started was for a much worse, really a worse, and it was because of grave robbers. And I'm like, oh my God, he researched it. He researched it. He didn't know what they call it, why they were there. He looked it up. He found out why they were there, and he told it. It was amazing. You know, and I was just so surprised to see that. He didn't just go with the normal, the give and take of the internet community that had decided this was to block vampires. You know, and it was like, no, this was for grave robbers. They did this because the people back in the Victorian times used to steal possessions and the bodies themselves and sell them to medical schools. You know?
Yeah.
And it was really something. And like I said, it wasn't long. It wasn't drawn out. It wasn't preachy. It wasn't nothing. It was a 4-minute, 50-second video that he came out. He talked about that. He also brought up the rescue coffins, you know, the ones where they had the bell.
Yeah.
In case you were buried alive, those. He even did research on that and pointed out the fact that there had been no documented cases of anyone being saved by one of those coffins that he could find. I was like, my God, this is hope for the future. You know, he put out like I said, it was a short, well thought out, researched video. And I applaud him for it.
That's what you want. You know, I mean, if you're gonna do your research, no matter what it is, you know, 5-minute video, 10-minute video, any topic, as long as, you know, if it applies to whatever field we're looking at, you know, you do it and put it out. And if someone has more to add to it or something that they think you left out, then, you know, hey, if we put something out and you think we goofed it up or you want to add something to it, you say, hey, you know, there's more you didn't get. Well, fill me in. I might not know about it. What is it? I want to know what it is, so tell me.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like, it was a big surprise for this generation that is pretty much stuck in their I'm right, you're not attitude. And the whole, they will come out and say things, talk about stuff that they don't know for certain. You know, it's like I said, this guy, he literally says in the video, I had seen a lot of pictures popping up, and they always had something to do with a zombie or a vampire. And I was like, well, people in that time were very superstitious, so it's possible, but I wanted to know for sure, so I started looking into it. And that's from right there in that opening little seconds when he's like, I started looking into it. I'm like, okay, now we've got something here. He saw something. Everybody on the internet saying this is zombies and vampires. He saw something and said,
I don't know
more about that. I don't know what that is. So I'm going to go figure it out. I'm going to go look into it and see what I can find out about this. And he finds out that, hey, these things were put over to stop grave robbers. You know, because look at the people who used to rob the bodies and they'd sell the bodies.
Oh, yeah.
Been reports of, you know.
They made a lot of money doing that.
Oh, yeah. Huge amounts of money. And he even threw in a really cool thing, I thought, of, at least personally, is the Victorian zombie. Or why they thought sometimes the dead did come back to life.
Well, yeah, because...
Well, as we were talking about the... We were talking about the coffins with the bells in it. I can't remember exactly what they were called. He actually did give the exact name of them. Just something I'm drawing blank on right now. But he did
like
give the name of it.
A rescue coffin or something.
Something like that. It was like a rescue coffin or something like that. Basically, the idea was they had a bell, and if you came back to life, or not came back to life, but if you were buried alive, you could ring the bell, and the guard at the cemetery or graveyard would come and pump air into the coffin through another or through a nozzle with a bellow till they could dig you out and save you. Well, as I said, the guy pointed out that there is no documented case of a rescue coffin ever actually rescuing anybody. There's no been one documented case of someone who was buried alive by accident and coming back and ringing the bell. He said, however, there are cases of the bodies being dug up and, of course, the bell having rung, but the person's still dead. The embalming techniques of the time were non-existent. So the bodies, when the gases would start, the bodies would decay, the gases would start to expand, causing the bells to ring. But when the bodies would be dug up, there they were dead. And of course it also
yeah.
a little bit of the Victorian vampire because of the fact the hair and the fingernails continue to grow after death.
Well, they didn't actually, but the skin pulled back.
Well, It gave the appearance of hair and nails growing. Yeah, that was my wording, not Tales from the Darks. But that's something. But given the illusion that the nails, the skin and the nails continue to grow, and even the teeth. Why a lot of people saw fangs. Because the skin around the gums would recede as well, making the teeth appear longer, especially the canines, which are pointed to begin with. So they would have elongated canines. You know, there was logical explanations, but just explanations that at that time the people did not know. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting close. It's like 10 minutes or 11.
Yeah, we got about 7 minutes.
We need to kind of do some shameless plugs, probably.
Yeah, that's of course. But I don't know exactly what. Well, actually, I do want to plug one thing. I'm going to continue to share it again. Look for it tomorrow. I will put it up on Paranormal Horizons and anywhere else I can. We are giving away a book, and I guess we can call it a joint promotion between Paranormal Night Stalker and Paranormal Horizons. I want to believe one man's journey to the paranormal. We only got one. It was one like on it, which was Psychic Medium Sherry. And as I said last night, I don't know if she's listening. Hopefully she'll listen to this one. But I don't feel right awarding her the win for this just because she is part of us. So that would be no different than me saying Michael won. And if she wants a book, I'll buy it for her anyway. You know, just pure and simple. If she wants it, I'll get it for her. No problem whatsoever with that. You know, I love Sherry, so that's no problem. I'll be glad to send her a copy of the book. But we are giving away a copy of Pete Wren and Jason Hewitt's book, I Want to Believe. They also have a YouTube. I was about to call it a YouTube channel. I don't know what a YouTube is, but it's there. Trust me. It's spelled just like YouTube, so you'll be able to find it. But it's YouTube. It's anyway. But they have a YouTube show also called We Want to Believe, and we're going to be giving away a copy next Saturday of I Want to Believe: One Man Journey into the Paranormal, Pete Wren's biography slash how to slash just average, you know, story of a man's life. You know, and it's ups and downs and trials and tribulations. And, you know, he's an incredible individual, an incredible investigator. Someone I feel very fortunate having gotten to meet and gotten to work with and still call a friend today. And, you know, we are giving that copy away. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to spread this out again. All you have to do is like and share the post. When that happens, I will draw someone at random on Saturday, live on the Paranormal Night Stalker, 10 Eastern, 7, the same as Paranormal Horizons. We are at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, just on Saturday, not Sundays. And now we're going to draw somebody live next weekend. You do not have to be listening live to win, although we would like you to be. We also understand that it's kind of happens that a lot of people download us. So that's fine with us. You can download it, listen to it later. We will get in contact with you, let you know you are the winner. It will all be on Facebook, so that's pretty much that. If you would like to hear more of us and me, less tame, then you could do so by joining us every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, on the Paranormal Night Stalker.
If you want to get in contact with Psychic Medium Sherry, her address is
tinyurl.com/SherryWeb. Of course, Paranormal Horizons on the Facebook. Good Lord. Now, maybe I have turned into a boomer. Here we are. We're going to put you out on the Facebook. Yeah, I've got YouTube and the Facebook. But yeah, you can find us on Facebook at Paranormal Horizons, Night Stalker, Night Stalker Podcast Network. I still have not been allowed to change that by Facebook. I might be in Facebook jail again. I don't know. I don't even know what I do anymore. They just throw me in and out of there. Maybe I got my own Kim, like Otis the Drunk from the Andy Griffith Show. I just let myself in and out as I feel like it. I don't know. Other than that, of course, we will be back, or they will be back. I might be here. Michael might be here. It may be Joe Pinohu. I don't know. It'll be some combination of us, or maybe one day we're going to have all of us on here. I don't know. It might break the internet, but we might even do that. Who knows? But they will. But some form of Paranormal Horizons, hopefully better put together than this one, we'll be here next week at 7 Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Since until hopefully Jason or Sherry comes back next week. If not, it will be me and Michael again. Maybe me and Joe. Maybe Joe and Michael. I don't know how it's all going to work. That's the miracle that is radio. But until the next time, signing off for Paranormal Horizons for the week, this is Joel Walling signing out. Have a great week, everyone.